Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Reed, and joining me, as ever, is Mr. Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek. How are you today?
Hello, my name is Marek Larwood, and joining me, as ever, is David Reed.
Hello. Hello. It does have a strange history repeating element. I've said it over 300 times now, and
I like it, but I was just putting you in, because I thought people listen to this, they probably think, it's always David asking how Marek is, but Marek never really asks how David is.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do it like that today.
All right. What you're genuinely asking me, because it sounded like you were just sort of parroting me in a sort of mocking way.
It sounded nasty, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
Well, I'll do it again.
All right.
Hello, my name is Marek Lloyd, and joining me today is David Reed. Hello, David. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Marek. Yes. I've had a lovely week. I've been in York.
I've been on the Isle of Wight.
These are our homelands.
Basically, this is what happens if you're thinking if you want to become an aspiring actor. What it means is when you go on holidays, essentially going home to your parents' house.
That's right. It's exciting. Well, I was. It was luxurious because my parents were away, so we had the.
Oh, that is much better.
The house to ourselves. Yeah.
My parents were there, so it's just basically the same as being 15 again.
You do regress, don't you? Because in a strange way, even though we are no longer young, you don't want to steal your parents' role because that is all they have left, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I was basically playing with my niece's nephew, and luckily I timed it with my friend from school was back.
Yeah.
So we just went down to the basketball courts where we used to play basketball growing up when there were never any facilities. And now in our local rec, the local playing grounds, there's a whole basketball course
coming up in the world
where they've installed 10 years ago. One is at standard height of 10 foot, yep. The other one is 11 foot. That's the Isle of Wight. I mean, it's not a big thing, the whole heights of the put it in any height,
but 11 foot, you know, because official size is too easy.
One foot higher than basketball, just to really stop people, and no one is there.
So is that to stop children swinging on it and breaking it?
No, you can't jump 10 foot anyway. You're literally going, this is. So they put the builders they put in didn't even bother to measure how. One of the crucial parts of the game,
yeah.
The basketball was supposed to be 10 foot high. Yeah. I'll back it in. Barry, William, I'll put what's 11 foot about right, isn't it?
So it looks right to me.
So we did that every day, really regressed. But we're not here
to talk about the heights of various hoops. We're here to talk about films, but before we do, we should say we are sponsored by Her Film Project, who are an organisation that help promote diversity in film. So if you are interested in such things, or you have a film that you would like to help get promoted or funded or whatever, then go to herfilmproject.com and follow Her Film Project on Twitter.
Do both of those things.
Do both of those things. Do them now and do them often. But we have been to the cinema and watched some films on our various internet-based streaming systems this week. Shall I go first?
Yeah, go for it.
I went to the cinema last night. I went to the Picture House Central, as is I tend to these days. I'd forgotten to have any lunch, so I was quite drunk when I went to the
A really skewed perspective.
Well, because I arrived half an hour early, so I had a beer, and then I had a second one when my friend arrived, and so it was an enjoyable evening, but ended up in a late night crappy Chinese restaurant in Chinatown.
Right.
But no, I went to see Atomic Blonde.
That is one of the very few films, other than Dunkirk, that's out of the cinema.
It's true. It seems to be an odd time for films, doesn't it? Even though it's... Isn't it the school holidays at the moment? So you would have thought something would come out.
But they seem to be just rehashing... I don't know. I'm not interested in those films. But they just... That's what's great about if you make a kids' film. You realise its life as a film is 100 times longer than a normal film.
Yeah.
Because they're going to replay it at the holidays. And parents just go, I don't care if I've seen this before. I just want them to sit.
Sit.
Yeah.
Sit and shark. So, Atomic Blonde, for those who do not know, this stars Charlize Theron as a spy. It's set during the Cold War in Berlin. It's very popular to write about these days. And it's got an incredible cast of people you already love doing the thing that you love them for doing. So Charlize,
it must be brilliant.
Charlize Theron is being a badass and beating people up. James McAvoy is in it being sort of unhinged and fun.
That's his new thing, is to go in. He suddenly turned in from an innocent, sort of quite clever bloke into, and he just plays madmen now, doesn't he?
Sort of, yeah, but cheeky madmen.
Okay.
You know, so in Split he's that, and then Filth he was that as well. He's, you know, he's a fun drunk, basically, is what he tends to play. John Goodman is in it, playing somebody who's a bit grumpy, and so that's good. Eddie Marsan is in it, playing someone who's got
a
bit more heavy lifting to do with the acting. Toby Jones is in it, playing a...
quirky small man.
Quirky small sort of English man. And it's also got Sophia Boutella, who is... I've enjoyed her in a few things. You probably may not recognise her, but she played the henchman in Kingsman, the one with the
blades for legs,
yeah. And she's also the alien in the more recent Star Trek film. But that's the cast of everyone doing the thing you love them for, apart from Sophia Boutella, actually, who doesn't really do any martial arts, even though that's sort of what she's been known for previously. But this is a Cold War thriller. In the style of John le Carré, I suppose, but a bit more popcorn than that, because it is directed by a stunt coordinator.
So, can I ask a question, please?
Yes.
Is the fact she's called Atomic Blonde and looks a bit like Blondie, and I heard a Blondie in the... is it got a Blondie soundtrack all the way through it?
No. It's got a 1960s to 80s soundtrack to mirror the Cold War, but there's 99 Red Balloons, there's Bowie in there twice, he's got two songs in there. The soundtrack is very cool. It sounds not cool in that, oh, I haven't heard this song before, what's this, like you might get with a Tarantino, but
yeah.
Cool like Baby Driver, where you've heard every song before and you already like it. So this is directed by a guy called David Leitch, who has
David Lynch
not David Lynch, David Leitch.
Oh, quite similar.
He's a tribute act to David Lynch.
Like on the Isle of Wight, they had a band called Ron Jovi.
That's right, it's like that, yeah.
Oh, so David Lynch, he does sort of Lynchian films, but sort of really shit versions.
He comes round to your local pub and he films a David Lynch film. On
yeah,
Saturday
do you
want to
come and see, what's it called? It's New Velvet. I'm trying to think of David Lynch films.
This one's called June, with a J, and it stars an old woman called June.
I love it if he did that.
It would be good, wouldn't it? But he's a stunt choreographer, and he's worked on everything. And this, I believe, is his directorial feature film debut.
How did he manage to get such a massive, big budget film, then?
Well, it's basically he seems to have been a safe pair of hands, or the go-to guy in stunts in some massive, massive films, and so he's managed to convince people that he can do this. It feels, as a result, very like John Wick, which is a similar thing of a stunt coordinator turned director, who they absolutely love fight choreography and things being cool. So either classy and cool or poppy and cool, but they love things being cool, and this is no different to that. It is slick and fun and feels like a music video from start to finish, and has some brilliant fights in it. If I can level a criticism at it, it's that it's a bit shallow, and as you'd expect, like Baby Driver, like John Wick, there's not much going on beneath the surface. It's a really good fun ride, but there's an excellent sequence on a stairwell that's one shot, or at least faked to look like one shot, that goes on for about 15 minutes. And it's
were you pissed when you were watching it?
No, I was tipsy.
Oh, so you weren't okay. I'm just checking your. I'm not saying you've got poor judgment.
Sure.
But I'm just want to know what if you're influenced by.
No, I think the story is it's one of those where it's needlessly complicated. I've got a theory about some Hollywood thrillers where you're watching it and you go, this is really complicated, but the dialogue is really simple and slightly stupid.
Mm.
I think this plot isn't clever, it's just needlessly complicated, and they're hoping that most people watching it will just go, oh, it's too clever for me, I'll just let it wash over me. And it isn't actually clever, it's actually dumb, but just overly complicated and not told very well.
But so, do you need to know the plot at all?
Not really. It's a Cold War thriller, so everyone's betraying everybody else, and you don't know who the good guys are or who the bad guys are, and blah, blah, blah.
Like real life.
But it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. If you enjoyed John Wick, you'll like this, because it is very similar in style.
How many Davids?
Tricky, because it's... I'm not sure I'd watch it again. It's a fun ride, but I don't tend to enjoy ride-style films that much anymore. I want something a bit more. I've now seen that. I'd probably give it a 7, I think, because it's very well done, and as a debut, you go, no, cool. But it reminded me of Baby Driver, where it left me a bit cold, even though I could see the quality of the thing on screen, but it wasn't moving me in a way.
My initial joy of watching Baby Driver has faded.
Yes.
It's that thing of literally popcorn thing. But talking of the Cold War, I've got to say, guess where I went yesterday?
Berlin.
No, I went to a old secret nuclear bunker, which is now a Clevedon nuclear bunker.
Ooh.
I was doing this bit of filming for something.
Right.
And literally this bloke had... who lived in a farm in Essex in 1952. The government requisitioned the bungalow and built a nuclear bunker underneath it.
Wow.
And it's all intact.
So who was that for? The government? Or?
It was for the government. So basically it's where the government, where the Prime Minister would go and everyone down, and it fits 600 people, and there's three different...
600?
Yeah. And
so it's basically like a buried submarine almost.
Yeah, so
like
it's three floors. I recommend going. It's called Kelvedon, I can't remember, nuclear bunker. There's a bloke doing a tour of it online. He took me around and gave me a tour of it. Absolutely fascinating. 3 months, and it was. They picked that spot because it was where the Ice Age finished in the old ice. So that was the point where it stopped. But they located that point, and it had seven different types of soil there. So it was a good place to restart after the nuclear war.
Wow!
So they literally went in and said, "We're having that, and you can't do anything about it."
Yeah.
And his family had to buy it back off him after it had put in a bid for it after they finished, but. It was amazing going to a nuclear bunker, and it really reminded me of Fred's.
Well, it's so weird to think that it was all of that stuff. It feels aesthetically so different to now, and yet it was incredibly recent.
Well, he said it's quite interesting now, because this reason I did this piece because of the nuclear threat with North Korea and America, and now people aren't the fear, even though it's just a credible. There's more nuclear weapons now. People actually don't think it's going to happen.
No.
Whereas in the 80s. There was, I don't know if you probably don't remember, that definite fear.
I'm a bit too young to have actually been aware of the fear growing up, you know. But, no, totally. I mean, I was alive for nearly the whole 80s, but I was just too young.
But it's odd how that the threat is there and bigger now, but people don't seem to be as scared.
I think Russia was a more credible threat because they're imperial, you know, they want more power. Whereas this current threat is just, it's not about on the state level, it's about two idiot children who have a lot of power might do something a bit stupid.
Like what we would do if we were in World War II.
Yeah, sure. Just get cross and just press the button. But Atomic Blonde is fun. Atomic Blonde is a lot of fun. And, as I say, it's like John Wick, but instead of loads of guns, it's punching and kicking and stuff.
I prefer punching and kicking to guns.
I tell you what, as well, I've been watching... the Marvel series The Defenders on Netflix, and it's rubbish.
I couldn't
stand it. It's so boring. But one of the criticisms, and I've got a lot of them, and I won't go into them, but is that some of their people doing fights just can't throw a punch, and especially Christian Ritter, who plays Jessica Jones in that, just has no physicality behind her punches. They haven't taught her how to do it properly.
You've done a combat fight, I've done a few years of combat training.
Yeah. So I've got my qualification in advanced stage combat. But Charlize Theron is brilliant at it.
Yeah.
Like, there's just such just force behind every punch, even though there isn't, you know, because it's faked. But it's... she's really, really good at this stuff now, and I want to watch her do more and more of that.
So if... sorry, for example, in The Bombing Man, if I... my power is at bombing people and breaking their spines...
Oh, are you playing The Bombing Man?
Well, I'm thinking of doing it.
Okay, fine.
I don't know what... I would have to properly train to do fake bombing to look like I would bomb hard enough to smash someone's spine.
I certainly think you should train to at least have the semblance of the physicality needed in the parts of your body so it would be believable.
So would they mind if I went on to a stage combat thing and went, listen, here's the situation, I just want to be able to bomb someone so I can shatter their pelvis? And
I think you'd have to say, I'm filming a film and I want to appear that way. Otherwise, they'll get a bit, you know, they probably wouldn't let you attend.
But surely, if you say that I'm doing a film with it, they wouldn't... I'd probably have to get some mock-ups of the actual film or show them some footage so they believe me.
Probably, rather than, I'm doing a film, can you show me how to break someone's pelvis with my anus?
They've trained a killer.
Yeah.
No, with the actual force of entry.
Oh wow! Okay.
And no, you're thinking of clinching.
I am thinking of clinching.
No, I'm the bum. I'm the bummer, not the bummy.
I see. No, but I mean, talk to a stunt coordinator because you could get some really physically quite powerful images out of that. I think.
I don't want to build up those muscles, so I have problems sitting down later on. You know what I mean?
Being a stuntman must... they must be wrecks by the time they're in their 50s.
But have you seen a lot of the people? I've done a few things which require these weapons specialists and people like that.
Yeah.
And they come in, and there was one who was supposed to be... I used to teach archery when I was younger, and they come in and they start teaching people, who think, you're clearly just an ex-army bloke who's called themselves a weapons specialist, and you know nothing about archery. You don't even know the basics. And sort of saying, no, you don't hold the arrow, you don't do that. You don't... watching them doing it, think, you're just blagging this.
Well, the people that I trained under are proper weapons nerds. Like, they've not come to it from actual weaponry like an army person. They've come at it from stage combat, and they're more into their historical weapons than anything else. You know, they know all the weapon systems and the teachers and different styles of sword fighting in different countries through history and all of this stuff. But it's a lot of fun, but also working out from base principles of, this is the weapon, what works, so therefore what are they likely to have done with it. And then there's all guns, is all entirely different.
Yeah. Another thing, I'm going off to it completely. I saw jousting on the Isle of Wight.
Jousting?
Actual jousting. They joust each other with proper poles made of plywood.
With metal armour?
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely incredible.
I mean, that's incredibly dangerous.
Yeah.
There must be lances that have been built to shatter.
Yes, they are. I think they're made of the wood. Balsa metal endings. Yes, they're just literally shatter on impact.
Yeah, yeah.
But absolutely incredible.
Wow.
Anyway, you're not interested in that, you're interested in films.
Yes.
Sorry, should we go into letters? Are you happy with that?
I'm happy with that. It's time for this.
Some people like writing letters, we like reading them out.
Here's an email from David Garden about Raw. He says, Dear David, Marek and Buddy, I was saving this email until a time where my recommended film was available to stream, but you need emails, and I have one for you. I caught the French film Raw at the cinema earlier this year, and very little has stayed with me to the extent that this visceral body horror did. Having seen this film, I now understand that we casually toss the word visceral around without much thought for its meaning. The shocking imagery of Raw literally made me feel sick. And that feeling didn't leave until around half an hour after the film had ended. This may not sound like the most glowing review, but to me, a film that can truly affect you in any way is a film worth watching. Some other things you might want to know. The film is about a vegan who joins her elderly sister at college and accidentally tastes meat for the first time. The experience leads to a desire for flesh that she cannot seem to satisfy or control. It is an excellent portrayal of the euphoric highs and crushing lows of college slash university life, coupled with an interesting examination of the close but often fragile bonds of sisterhood. Plus, it has an arresting final image that has the added benefit of staying with you for days after you watch. Keep an eye out for this one on Just Watch. Keep watching the films and keep sending in the emails. Dave. Thank you. Raw is available on streaming services now, I have noticed.
Oh, really?
Yes, I think it's on Netflix, in fact. It's one that has caught my attention, but that I have not yet seen. Let me look it up, actually, just now. It's from last year, 2016. Yes, it's now available to rent on all streaming services, basically. It's not on Netflix, though. I've been watching more and more on Rakuten TV, that used to be called Wacky.
Oh, yes, I watched a couple on that.
And it's quite good, actually. I mean, they're all the same, aren't they? They cost £3.50, basically, to watch a film on standard definition. And to be honest, I'm fine with that, to be honest.
Well, I don't think it makes them... I never pay more for the equipment, more for HD.
No. I mean, you need a properly big TV to make it worthwhile.
Yeah, and take off your pants and trousers.
Yeah. Yeah, dance around.
Here's an email.
Who's it from?
Estuonius. Huh? That's, well, I don't know what it is. Oh, name, Woodmouse. Subject, black market organs. Hello, David Merrick, buddy, bastard dog next door, and all fandangleberries everywhere. Following last week's discussion... I say last week's. This email is from the 27th of July, so it's about a month ago.
Okay.
Of stealing Marek's organs by means of laced Oreo ice cream. This is when David gave me an Oreo ice cream and I suggested the fact that he may have drugged it to steal my organs. David mentioned he didn't think he'd seen a film about somebody having their organs stolen. What about Park Chan-wook's Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance? I'm sure you've mentioned this before. For those who haven't seen it, it's well worth a watch, as are the rest of the Vengeance trilogy, but maybe not a film to watch if you are squeamish. Keep watching those pesky films, Woodmouse. P.S. David, my wife was a big fan of your BBC work a few years ago. You know that show about knobheads trying to get away scot-free when they owe people shit tons of money?
Oh, the voice the sheriffs are coming, yes.
My infant daughter and I also enjoy your work on the Twirly Woos. Surely all this is enough to get you to get a bedtime story slot like Tom Hardy and David Hasselhoff have done recently. It's a good point, David.
It's a good point. It's on tonight, actually. Well, not by the time this episode goes out, but the Sheriffs Are Coming is on tonight at 8 p.m. on BBC One.
I'm sure you could probably look it up and find it online, can't
probably,
you?
Probably, yeah. It's just me narrating bailiffs, basically. Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance is one that's on my list because I have not yet seen it, but... Park Chan-wook is the director behind The Handmaiden, which Marek's talked about before, and Old Boy, which is obviously excellent.
So it's definitely worth watching then.
But the Vengeance trilogy is Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance, Old Boy, and Lady Vengeance. So track all of those.
I never realised it was a trilogy.
Yes.
Here's another one.
Okay, this one is from Stu about Planet of Thapes. Just a quickie roll on this becoming a reality, so teenagers will for once shut the fuck up. Thanks. What? Great film, by the way. Apart from some tard sitting in his coat, a rustly one at that, narrating every other line like a DVD commentary track, and teenage girls who feel the need to bring a picnic and fucking yammer constantly through the whole movie. Post-millennial, ignorant, no respect for anyone, placing no value on anything else, little shits. Thanks again. Phew. So Stuart went to see Planet of the Apes by the sounds of it and enjoyed it, apart from everyone in the cinema.
Yeah, I've been quite lucky with no cinema arseholes lately, but...
I think it will be the thing that kills cinema is, you know, there's nothing like the live experience. Yeah, there really isn't. When if the cinema is full, chances are you're going to have some arseholes in there, so you may as well watch it at home. I think that's a real problem, apart from for wanky middle-class art house cinemas that never get kids in them.
Why is it, though, that people... You know, if you've got sweets and you start rustling, you think, oh, I'm going to stop... If I'm eating popcorn, which I literally try and do the whole bag before the film starts...
Yeah.
But I do a thing where I don't make any... I open the popcorn wide. So your hand just goes in and you don't make noise. Someone who... They know it's making rustling sounds, yet they're totally oblivious to the fact that
I can't understand these people, but there's plenty of them in the world, aren't there? I mean, it's the same people to me who drive along in their cars in traffic with the windows down and their music at full volume on like a nice sunny day or something. It's just like, what are you doing?
Well, I got on the train back and there was someone just literally watching something. The carriage, there was about eight people in the carriage spread out and they were just literally watching. They were there and there were four of them over across two seats watching things with the volume on their phone really, really loud.
Yeah.
So, pricks.
Yeah, pricks, basically. Anyone else?
Well, we'll save them for next week, I think, probably.
All right, fine. Thank you for your letters. If you'd like to write to us, then please do so. You can go to filmfandango.com and fill out the form there, and we will get your email. Thank you to everyone who already has. Now, Marek, what have you seen this week?
I was on holiday in the Isle of Wight.
Yes.
And my friend also, Paul Allen, who... my friend from Cardiff, who's been on the show a long time ago, made this film called Big Font, Large Space, and I talked about.
Yes.
Anyway, he was saying that he'd heard about a director called Ernest Lubitsch, who was director in the sort of 30s, who was influenced Billy Wilder. He got nominated for Best Director for Heaven Can Wait and The Patriot and The Love Parade. Films we haven't really heard of, but I'm quite ignorant of this era, this sort of 30s cinema. So he suggested we watch this film, which is starring Greta Garbo, who also I don't really know much about. And what it is a made in 1939. It's a comedy of when Ninotchka comes to Paris. So basically, what's happened is that the Russians, under Stalin, selling off precious things they've stolen in foreign countries for the state, for the good of the state.
Okay.
So basically, these three incompetent Russians are sent to Paris to negotiate a sale of a necklace. Meanwhile, the Duchess lives there, and who previously owned the necklace lives in Paris, and they're trying to negotiate this sale, but. It's a real satire on... It's basically before, 1939, taking the piss out of the Russians and communism.
Right.
Communism in America, where they just get sucked in to the Western capitalism and end up living in an expensive hotel and enjoying things. And Ninotchka comes over to see what these three blokes have done, and she's played by Greta Garbo, who I didn't realise was a brilliant sort of comic actress in this. She's amazing. She plays as a really straight Russian who hates everything and doesn't warm to anything.
It's interesting. We do forget, but actresses got some fantastic roles in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. You know, we forget that actually some of the best performances, most memorable performances, were all women. And it's actually a more modern thing that the female roles have got shitter. You know.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great film where you've got a female lead. She's the lead, and Melvin Douglas plays this count who falls in love with her and gradually sort of makes her smile and warm to Western ideas.
Right.
It's a totally original film. I mean, the problem I had was I was watching it in the afternoon, and for some reason, this has nothing to do with the film at all, when I see black and white films in the afternoon, I instinctively fall asleep.
Yes.
I don't know why that. Why is it when you watch a black and white film, because it's not really, although it looks beautiful or taxing on the eyes, or whether it's something ingrained in my head.
Well, it's also just black and white films, as a dint of the fact they were filmed a while ago, tend to have a slower pace as well. So there's fewer shots. So it's all a bit more. It's all a bit more lethargic, isn't it? It's very easy to sort.
It's a lot calmer to watch.
Yeah.
It's a very much calmer experience, and it is because you're exactly right. Your eye, what's the thing? The average cut is every 7 seconds now, shorter than that. But then you've got whole scenes, there's whole scenes without a cut. So the actors are obviously doing a really great job because they've had to learn more than three lines before going away and setting up for another shot.
Yeah, it was an entirely different medium, really, in terms of what you expected going to the cinema. I remember we took my granddad to the cinema once and he hadn't been in like probably 20 or 30 years, you know. And we took him to Jurassic Park because we were like, this is going to blow his mind. Because, you know, if he's used to seeing black and white films about high society people talking fast at each other, and then we take him and see actual dinosaurs. It's going to be incredible. All he had to say afterwards, it was very loud. Yeah. That's all he has. Because it must have been. Like, if that's what you're used to, just like, they really just pummel you with the soundtrack these days, you know?
But what's great about this film is, if they feel very original, they're very sharp with the dialogue. It's all very, very tight and quite snappy. I think because you've got those longer shots, the performances are a little bit more theatrical. The whole thing has more of a taste of theatre about it because they got these are probably actors who worked in the theatre as well. Greg Garbo, who learnt their trade in the theatre, then moved into film. So I think that's naturally what happened. It's just fascinating. And it was 1939 it was made, so before the war. So they're doing comment on the previous war.
On growing trends.
I thought it was, although I did almost fall asleep with a couple of points, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was quite sharp. For some reason in my head, or maybe I'm ageist or something, I sort of didn't think this snappy, and a sort of touch of the Marx Brothers, a little bit of Groucho Marx, a little bit of that element to it.
Right.
But it just looks beautiful. You can't really beat that black and white look on film. It does look beautiful, and I appreciate it more and more now.
It weirdly sort of focuses you on, focuses the lighting, takes away sort of the noise of colour, doesn't it? It's that thing of George Miller released his the Mad Max Fury Road in its black and white version on Blu-ray, because that's the one he wanted to release in the first place.
Yeah,
because it is a beautiful thing. I've talked about it before, but somebody did a black and white version of Raiders of the Lost Ark and took the soundtrack out of it and just put music over the top. And the story is still perfectly clear as a silent movie.
Maybe a bombing man.
Because the shots are so beautiful, you know. They just every shot is telling a story. It's moving the story on with every single one.
Yeah. Bombing man, black and white.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just had an idea. It's really odd how you hear names like Greta Garbo, and I was quite ignorant to her and had an idea of what she was in my head, and didn't realise she was a great comic actress with a brilliant performance. She was nominated for four Oscars. She was nominated for an Oscar for a performance in this, and deservedly so.
Oh, and it's
she
got,
really carries a film.
It's got Bela Lugosi in it as well, who played Dracula in the 30s.
Yes, he doesn't play a big part in it, but it's all these great 1930s actors I've got no knowledge of, and they're brilliant. And he just literally, 80 years ago now?
Yeah.
Totally forgotten. So I recommend, I should check out some more of Ernst Lubitsch's film, because he influenced people. Billy Wilder was a massively influential director. This is the person who influenced him. So it's quite odd going back to the history of cinema. So you think this is not long, really, after silent films.
Yeah.
And yet you've got a really great, funny satire. So if you fancy a bit of night afternoon viewing, you want to fall asleep to something, I recommend Ninotchka. Is a great, great, funny, snappy political satire without being too snobby. I would love to read reviews of it, of how it was. I should have done this, but how it was perceived in its day.
Yes.
If it was very controversial in its day.
It's hard to know that, isn't it? Whether people were just like, get on with it, we know these things, or whether it was actually upsetting some people.
But some films feel really, you think, like Alien 2001, something crazy when 2001, well, Alien was made 79, and yet it seems much more modern than films that were made of the same.
Yeah,
2001, 1968 is incredible.
Yeah,
this actually feels, when you think 1939, the way it's sort of the snappy concept, it does feel aged, but also very modern as well.
And entirely accidentally, possibly a good double bill with Atomic Blonde, as we can see how sort of films about communism and with a female lead have, how far they've come.
Yeah.
Ninotchka followed by Atomic Blonde. See the history of cinema.
Wonder which you prefer.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. Once again, if you'd like to get in touch, then please do so. Go to filmfandango.com and fill out the form there. And also, we do all of this for free. So if you would like to donate towards our running costs because you have enjoyed the programme so far, then again, filmfandango.com and click the donate button. Everyone who has, thank you very much. We know you by name now.
Thank you. It's very much appreciated.
Yes. We'll be back next week. Keep watching the films.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.